Come with me real briefly, 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to close this series on leadership out. Appreciate Brother Jones. Filling in the gap. I saw pictures. He had 12 apostles up here. I saw some pictures of the 12 up here. My question is, which one was Judas? I'd like to meet him and identify him so I can stay away from him. But it was great, and we appreciate you standing in the gap. 1 Peter chapter 5, briefly. Let's be educated in here. We teach how? That was this side. We teach how? Okay, that was the front of this side. We teach how back there? So if we're teaching it, pay attention. There's nothing that can be more frustrating than a person who was there for the movie but still ask you what happened. I can't go to the movies with someone who's there but not checked in, because I paid my money to see the whole movie. I didn't pay to explain it. Why y'all getting quiet in here? Y'all know there's that one person that's there but not paying attention. Lean over to you while you're watching the movie you paid your good money for and say, what happened? Amen. If I got to tell you what happened, why don't you keep your money? Give me your money. I'll watch the movie for you. Come out and explain every word and every scene. Okay? So we teach in the direction we're going in Mountain View, and we do that so that when we go, there are no surprises. So that when we go educated, we go competent, we go with an understanding, because out of all that I get and get an understanding. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1. I just want to read these, and this is where we're going to kind of end today. And this lesson is not an attempt to... this is not primarily for those who are unsaved, but there's always a word for those who are unsaved regarding this. 1 Peter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you. Everybody underline that. He says, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is revealed, is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. We're resuming our series and ending our series on the Lord, his leaders, and the Lamb. The bedrock of Christianity is not attendance, but discipleship. The bedrock of Christianity, the base of Christianity, fundamental, elementary, basic Christianity has as its foundation following. Out of all the profound things that Jesus ever said in his ministry, out of all of the profound parables he told, out of all the profound teachings he rendered, at the foundation of everything Jesus did and everything Jesus said was a message that consisted of only two words, two powerful words, two words that brought his hearers to the crossroads of a decision, two words that brought his hearers to a place where they would, from that point, decide what they would do with Jesus, two words that are profound and prolific. Two words that have within them everything that we need to really be part of the movement that Jesus started. And the two words that are most profound and are the bedrock of everything that we call Christianity are the words, follow me. They're simple, perhaps oversimplistic to some of us, perhaps having no depth or no deep, profound meaning. But there would be no church today if Jesus did not approach some men hundreds and hundreds of years ago and utter to them those two words. Christianity is about following Jesus. And the reason why that's important is because as it pertains to leadership, because however you follow will be how you lead. And a person that does not want to follow is not in a position to lead. We read this in 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is after the smoke clears. And I need you to understand what I mean by after the smoke clears. Peter is writing to the churches, predominantly ethnically Jewish churches, but he refers to a specific group in the churches. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1, he's talking to the elders. Everybody say he's talking to the elders. And he's telling them how to lead. But he says something very profound that should pique our curiosity. He says, of which I also am one. He's talking to the leaders, but Peter says, I am one. This text is after the smoke clears because Peter did not start out as a leader. Okay. The Bible says, everybody go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and we'll read this and we'll go through this. So my first point, if I wanted to talk to us today so that we might get an understanding of this thing called leadership, is when it comes to leadership, the first elementary principle is to forsake and follow. Somebody say forsake and follow. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, readers, we're almost done. Read.
Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee.
Here Jesus is. This is years later. If you want to know the prequel to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, here's the prequel. Okay, this is what happened for Peter to get to this point where he is saying, I am also an elder. He wasn't born an elder. He wasn't born a leader. There were some things in him that needed to be established. And we see here that Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers, and one of those brothers was who?
Simon.
Simon, who was called what?
Peter.
Peter, read.
And Andrew, his brother.
Andrew, his brother, read.
Casting the net into the sea.
They were casting a net into the sea, read.
For they were fishermen.
They were fishermen.
And he said,
it's amazing how the course of their life shifted. Peter was a fisherman. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's not talking as a fisherman. He's not representing some kind of association of fishermen. He's part of a different group of men who do a certain thing. He's an elder. But look at his beginning. The Bible says they were fishermen. Read.
And he said to them.
He says to them what?
Follow me.
What?
Follow me.
Follow me. Read.
And I will make you fishers of men.
Those two words. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Read.
Immediately they left their nets and
now watch
him.
This. Immediately they did what?
Left their nets and
they did
him.
What? Come on, talk back to me. They did what? They left their nets and followed him. The bedrock of Jesus's appeal for them to follow them was not just inclusive of a journey, but it was inclusive of forsaking something, which means the idea of forsaking something is the idea that now your priority shifts. You don't get to bring everything with you when you follow Christ. There must be in your history, and this is not just about leaders, this is about us as Christians. There are people who are trying to follow Christ, but they've left nothing behind. The idea of following Christ is that there is something that you shift in your priority in to the point where you part with it for the sake of following Jesus. Cheap Christianity says you can have Jesus and everything else that you had before. Cheap, worldly, carnal-minded Christianity says you can follow Jesus and keep the same priorities you have before. But genuine Christianity, genuine discipleship says that when Jesus appeals for us to follow him, there is something that we are connected to, that we have to be willing to part with, not eternally, but to move down on the priority list, because Jesus has to mean more to us than any other thing we hold on to. Amen. Does that make sense? Somebody looking for something deep here? No, it's not deep. It's difficult. You busy looking for something deep, but it's not deep. It's difficult. And sometimes the simplest things are the most difficult things. You cannot follow Christ holding on to everything or even everybody. My question to you is, what did you leave to follow Christ? Hello, there are some things when we decided to follow Christ that should still be on the stoop, that should still be in the store, that should still be in the ashtray, that should still be in, come on in this house, that should still be on the corner, that should still be waiting for the midnight call. There's something that we should have left to follow Christ. And if you don't leave it or forsake it, then it invalidates your follow. Because if you don't forsake it, you follow with it, and you can't be a leader unless you follow. So if you don't forsake, then you follow with that problem, and you become a leader with the problem you did not forsake when you began to follow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your discipleship is both a forsaking and a follow. You've got to leave something behind. And Christianity today has been cheapened. And watch this. You can attend and bring everything. You can hang around Jesus and bring everything. But if you are going to follow, something has to shift. Something has to shift. You can be a church attender and not forsake everything. Amen. And that's the new Christianity today. The new Christianity is just coming to church. And since that's the new Christianity, we're raising up men who want to be leaders and think that they can meet the qualification by simply showing up. If that, we teach in the direction we're going in. It is not about attendance. Because we see attendance every day, every first day of the week. We can see attendance. It's about something deeper. It's about whenever there's something that gets in the way of your relationship with Jesus, that no matter what that is, your priority is so much so that whatever that is will have to go. Because God knows there are some things and some priorities that will get in your relationship with Jesus. And at some point, you're going to have to make a decision when you realize that this friend, this habit, this person, this job, this career, this whatever, this financial situation, this hobby, whatever it is the thing that's stopping you from following Jesus. It is at that point when you take your discipleship serious that you say, wait a minute, you can't go with me because you're getting in front of me. I'm going to follow Jesus. And your priority for Jesus has to be greater than your priority for this. Some of us do this with relationships. We get in relationships that are doing this. And we come to church thinking that that's enough. But we're trying to follow Jesus. But every time we follow Jesus, something pops up with this. You better learn, if you will ever be a leader, that you have to tell some things that get in your way, move out of your way, because Jesus is better. That was the bedrock. Follow me. Follow me so much so that in Luke 14, Jesus says that if you can't let certain things go, you literally can't follow me. Go to Luke 14, everybody. Are you understanding this? And I haven't even gotten to position. I haven't even gotten an elder or deacon. This is just what we're supposed to do as Christians. Amen. Are you understanding this? Yeah. It's not some super extraordinary through the roof quality that an elder or a deacon or a ministry leader or a preacher has to have that you don't have to have. That's the problem. It creates this lazy Christianity that depends on the leaders to live the kind of life that you're supposed to live vicariously. When Christ comes again, he's not going to judge you on the kind of leaders you had. Look at Luke chapter 14, start with verse 25. What does the Bible say?
Large crowds were traveling with Jesus.
Watch this. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Well, this is strange. This is interesting. Because the crowds were behind him. They were around him. But they weren't following him. They were around him. They were behind him. But they weren't following him. So what he does with the people around him and behind him is he presents his qualification for following him. I submit to you today, there are more people that attend church than there are that are following Jesus. Y'all not hearing me in here today. I didn't come here to play or to make friends or to keep you my friend. The reality is there are more people coming to church than following Jesus. The problem with that is when you're just coming to church, you, watch this, you have no weight of responsibility. And so watch this, even your attendance does this. Because it's about being here. But it has to be something deeper than about being here. It has to be something deeper than about showing up here. That's good. But watch this. Showing up here should be the result of something deeper than that. Because there are things that can happen here that can turn you off from here. Hello. There's nothing more frustrating than to hear somebody say, well, I will come to church, but I went there and this happened and that happened and that happened and that happened and I'm frustrated and I'm happy and I just think church did that. When I hear you talk, this is all I hear. Do you know why? Because you just put the church on the same level as your job. Because that's the same kind of talk you give when you're on a job you don't like. That means, and what that is a manifestation that it ain't about following, it's about attending. People like that float from church to church and go to whatever church has the latest fad. Because it ain't about following, it's attending. It's about association. Jesus didn't want fans. Oh, y'all looking at me crazy. But get this in your spirit. Turn to somebody and say, you got to go deeper than that. So he has all these crowds around him. And the Bible says what?
If anyone comes to me.
If any man comes to me, read.
And does not hate his father and mother.
does not hate his father and mother.
Wife and children.
Wife, children.
Brothers and sisters.
Brothers and sisters.
Yes, even their own life.
Even their own life.
Such a person cannot be my disciple.
You can't be my follower. A disciple is a follower. I'm sorry. You can't be my follower. Why? Because you start out following me with the very thing that can challenge my priority in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You start your journey following me, carrying the very thing that can potentially ultimately challenge your priority in my life. In other words, you leave the house with the nail in your tire. And though you are riding with me, the problem is attached to you is the thing that can ruin your journey with me. And so if you can't put me first from the beginning, you can't follow me, because the reality is you're taking a walk with me, but you're following whatever you have first. Are y'all hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying? But look what else he says. Read.
And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple.
If you don't carry your cross and follow me, Matthew 16:24, which is the main text, it is, says that he that cometh after me, let him what? Deny himself. Which means you have to take a back burner to following Jesus. You can't bring you with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't afford to bring you with you to follow Jesus, because you will get in the way of you and Jesus. So he says you have to deny you, take up your cross, and follow me. It is a shift in priority. Now, why are you saying, I thought we were talking about leadership. The bedrock of leadership is your follow. Whatever your follow looks like is what your leadership will look like. And a person that does not have the humility to follow makes a terrible leader. Look at our government. I don't mean to be political in here, but if you have a history of not being able to submit to any kind of authority and thinking you can buy your way out of submitting and following and posture yourself in a certain way, then you give a person who cannot follow a title, then what you have is a person with a title who leads but does not and has not the capacity to follow. When you don't learn to follow, you become insensitive to those following you. Because you've never developed the ability, nor have you any connectivity to what it means to follow. So you can't be sensitive to those who are following you, because you've never been a follower. The old adage telling our children and our grandchildren, be a leader and not a follower, might be bad advice. Because you can't be a good leader worth anything unless you're a good follower. Jesus, the invitation was not to lead. He never invited them in their initial discipleship. It was never an invitation to lead. You notice that? He never said, come on here, I need you to lead. He said, follow me. Let's understand this relationship. If you're following me, then I'm in front. And if you're busy trying to be equal, if you're busy trying to walk with me, then you can't follow me. Walk behind me. Our society is saturated with so much pride that we will feel less than having to admit that we follow somebody. It's hard for a leader to say, yes, yeah, I'm following this person's leadership. When a leader can't say, I'm following this person's leadership, it's because of their own personal insecurities and their humility challenge. Have you ever had a boss or a coworker, or were you ever a supervisor who can't really accept that they have to follow you? And they'll say, yeah, I think we need to, wait a minute, based on job description, it's me and then we. See, that some of us feel in some kind of way like that now. Because guess what? Our flesh is programmed to resist following. That's why some of us get fired from the jobs we keep feeling we're fired from. Because we go in there and we have a problem with authority. We have a challenge with authority. We want to have a boss but don't want to be instructed what to do. So the boss becomes just some formality that you have to have on your job. I'm not interested. You know why you get interviewed? I'm not interested. Watch this. Neither will I lay hands on anybody here who cannot follow. That's a danger. Jesus doesn't. Watch this. Jesus rejects those that can't forsake and follow. He says, if you don't forsake, you can't follow. And he says it three times. Now watch this. The principle of, watch this, forsake and follow has in it a commitment to follow everything. Okay? How many of you gladly follow Jesus? Raise your hand if you gladly follow Jesus. Here's the challenge with that, because it's easy, you know, that's easy. Yeah, me too, right? The challenge of that is it's easy to follow a Jesus that's walking on pavement. Harder to follow a Jesus that walks on water. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's easy to follow a Jesus that's healing the sick and raising the dead. As a matter of fact, the disciples had no problem with that. I mean, they followed him. So Jesus, watch them get this, gave them the bigger picture and the entire picture. And the entire picture is this thing is not just about healing and everybody saying Hosanna. This thing is just not about popularity. It's also about pain. Now watch this. Matthew 20. I need you to see this. And if you give me 7 more preacher minutes, I'll be done. Thank you. 7 more. Jovita said, sure. Put your phone down. Don't put the alarm on, please. Ushers, get ready to take this sister out. Just get ready. Keep your eye on this one. But watch this. Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse number 18. What does the Bible say?
Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem.
We are going up to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples and some others that are there. Look at what he says. We're going to Jerusalem. He starts talking in third person. He says, we're going to Jerusalem and the Son of Man, what?
Will be delivered to the chief priests and
scribes.
He's
talking about himself. I'm going to be delivered to the chief priests. Read.
And scribes. And they will condemn
him to death. Wait a
minute.
Not only that, but they're going to condemn me. Read.
And will hand him over to the Gentiles.
And they're going to hand me over because he's talking in third person. He is the Son of Man. I'm going to be handed to the Gentiles. Read.
To mock and scourge and crucify him.
They're going
to
mock me. And they're going to scourge me. And they're going to crucify me. Now watch this. He says, not only that, I'm going to do what?
On the third day, he will be raised up.
I'm going to be raised up. Here's the problem with humanistic thinking when it comes to following Jesus. You can't pick and choose where you follow. You don't get to ignore the rough side of following Jesus and meet him on the other side of it. You're not there. Okay. You don't get to be absent on Friday. When he's being crucified, when he's being scourged and you're following Jesus. And then just pop up Sunday morning when he raised with all power in his hand. Amen. And this was the thinking that James and John's mom had. Look at the next verse.
Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
The sons of Zebedee were James and John. Read.
Came to Jesus with her sons.
She came to Jesus. Read.
Bowing down and making a request of him.
Here's my request.
And he said to her.
He said what?
What do you wish?
What do you want?
She said to him.
Watch this.
Command that in your kingdom.
Command that in your kingdom.
These two sons of mine.
Will do what?
May sit one on your right hand and one on your left hand.
Okay. Look at what she's asking for. She just talks about in his kingdom. She's talking about the raised Christ. She wants her sons, to have the position. Okay, you missed that. He just said to them, I'm going to be handed over. He said, I'm going to be whipped. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be scourged. They're going to give me to the Gentiles. I'm going to die, but I'm going to get up and I'll be raised to life. She just politely disregarded all of the ugly stuff. Pops up on the other side and says, when you go into your kingdom, will you give my sons a seat on either side of your throne? I want them to have the position without paying the price. How do you know that that was her position? Because watch how Jesus addresses it. He says what?
But Jesus answered.
He said what?
You do not know what
you don't know what you're asking for. You're talking about how things are going to be when I get up. You want your sons to sit on the throne with me, but you're missing something. Did you hear what I just said? I said that I'm going to be mocked, and I'm going to be scourged, and I'm going to be whipped, and I'm going to be given to the Gentiles, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to raise up. How dare you skip over all the ugly stuff of following me and want a position without paying the price of pain? You want to follow me, jump over the puddle that I had to walk in and meet me on the other side and expect me to give you a seat of equality with me. So look what Jesus asks.
Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?
You don't know what you're asking for. You see that? He refers back to the ugly stuff of leadership. You want the position. But you don't want the ugly stuff. Now, we're talking about church leadership, but the principle is universal. There are some people that want your position, but don't want to go through everything it costs you to get there. And that's with everything. When you're following after whatever God has before you, you've got to follow through the rough terrain. You don't get to just show up when he's healing the sick and raising the dead and making lame people walk and making deaf people hear and dumb people talk and everybody's worshiping him, and then be excused when it's time for the cross and the pain and the thorns and the nails and the whipping and the scourging and the being given over to the Gentiles. Skip that part. Fast forward that. Pop up on Sunday morning where he's in his resurrected body and says, Lord, I want to sit with equality with you. And so what you end up with is you end up with a leader who didn't pay. Who did not completely pay the follow bill. This generation today wants everything right now.
Amen.
How long you been married, Sister Twyman?
47 years.
4,700 years. I'm telling you, that is a... Harold and Willie Burnett?
48.
Anybody more than that? Years. What about you over there? 49. 50. and you see them, oh, goals. Hashtag goals. Oh, Jesus would say, you don't even know what you're asking. Are you willing to drink from the bitter cup? You think that's Kool-Aid in that cup? You think it's all about drinking Kool-Aid and soda pop? No, sometimes you gotta drink vinegar. And if you're not ready to drink vinegar, you're not ready to celebrate 50. 48, 49. And Jesus is saying, you want a seat, you want a position, but you're not, you got to be ready for the cup. If you read on, they said, we ready. But we're talking about Peter. Peter said he was ready. Can't you remember Gethsemane? Jesus is there, and I'm almost finished. He says, the Son of Man is going to be crucified. The shepherd shall be smitten, and the sheep are going to scatter. You know what Peter said? Lord, I will never leave you. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm going with you all the way to the end. I seen you raise the dead. I seen you heal the sick. I walked on water with you. Lord, I'm going with you to the end. You know what Jesus told Peter? The same Peter. That's an elder in 1 Peter chapter 5. That's a leader. He said, Peter, before the rooster crows, three times you're going to deny me. I've been telling you, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself. But when the heat happens, what you're going to do, Peter, is you're going to deny me. And Peter said, no, be it far from me. They may deny you, but not me. When the heat got turned up and following Jesus became inconvenient, because it becomes inconvenient. We're teaching in the direction we're going, because you can't have a leader that runs when it's inconvenient. That's poor leadership. Don't run when it's inconvenient. You've got to watch this. God is charging you to lead people through the thorn bush. He's not going to lead. Watch this. Your assignment is not always going to be to walk around the thorn bush. Sometimes God says, okay, this is the only way, thorn bush. And leaders go first. Because guess what? Leaders are based on followers who decided to go all the way and not abandon when the heat happens. And so when the heat happened and they began to scourge Jesus and they took Jesus and they led him away and they smacked him and they spit on him, Peter kind of ran away and was recognized in the market. And somebody said, you look like somebody that was with Jesus. He said, no, I don't know the man. Somebody else a second time said, surely you are one who walked with Jesus. He said, no, I don't know him. The third time, no, I know it. We see it. You are one of the ones that walked with Jesus. Then he had to behave in such a way to where it would be believable that he had anything to do with Jesus. So he started cussing and swearing. Three times. At that point, the rooster crowed and they made eye contact. Which means part of following, it's following forward. It doesn't mean you're gonna be perfect. So everybody looks at that list in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and says, well, an elder needs to do this and that and the other. A deacon needs to do that and the other. Perfection. No, no. You follow forward. You fumble forward. You falter forward. And Peter faltered forward. And so in John 21, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times. And he says, do you love me more than these? Remember, the original impulsive talk was, I don't know what these are going to do, but I'm going to be with you. John 21, Jesus says, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. In other words, at some point, your follow is going to have to turn into a lead. So you have to get to the point where you forsake. Because if you are not forsaking and following, if you are not denying yourself, then you lead the people who you were supposed to lead toward me. You lead them away from me. And so, you know, Peter start crying when he asked him the third time, crying. Snot was falling, coming out of his face. He was crying. He had an ugly cry too. Jesus, you know, you should have been there. Unfortunately, you weren't. And Jesus said the third time, tend to my sheep. Feed my sheep. Nurture. Flourish. Leaders don't grow buildings in the church. They grow people. Grow them. Remember, we talked about for the equipping of the saints, for the work, for the maturing of the saints. Our job, a leader's job, is not to grow physical things, but to grow people, to tend to people. You can't get tired of tending to people. So that was that alarm. That was the 7-minute alarm. For real? You did that for real? Wow. Oh, man. Whoever that was, ushers, take her out now. Just don't ask her her name. If she's a guest, just take her out anyway. Go visit somewhere else. Don't let anybody fracture your follow. Yeah, this is about leaders. We're teaching the direction we're going. Peter said, I'm an elder. Apparently, this years had passed, and he knew what it felt like to fall. And that's part of the process. I wouldn't want to follow somebody that never fell. Because people that don't fall, that try to lead, become insensitive to people who are fumbling behind them. I'm going to end with this, and then I go, I must be getting old, because I've gotten to the point where I like going to Walmart, but I don't like walking around. I got to the point where if I go and I'm waiting on Carol, I just sit. And I say old because usually there are some senior citizens there. They sit at the exit. I see them. They sit. And I was like, oh, okay, this is nice. And they just watch people. Try that sometimes. They sit and they just watch. But they talk about people too now. Child, look what she got on. You remember in your day? Like, no, I'm young. I'm young. I'm not there yet. And they sit. So I was doing that. I was doing that every now and then. I just do that. You know, I'd be waiting on a prescription. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to sit. And I saw, I remember distinctively seeing this one woman coming out of Walmart. And she had a couple of groceries in her hand. And it looked like she had a 5-year-old son. Or maybe he was 3 or 5. And he was behind her. She was in front of him. And he was behind her. And he was falling. And he'd get up. And I looked at that. And of course, the old dude next to me, older dude, he said, she's leaving him. She's not even looking behind to check on him. And I said, but I thought about it. She knew he was all right. Even when he fell. Even when he starts crying for her, and then he falls, and then he gets up, she's just walking. You know why she knew he was all right? Because he was fumbling in his follow after her. When you choose to follow Jesus, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to get it right. Sometimes you're calling for him and you fumble and you get up and you stumble and you fall. But as long as you're falling in your fire. follow after Jesus. Guess what? Watch this. He'll be there for us, but Jesus is not going to stop his mission. He says, follow me. Now you might fall. You might fumble. You might stumble. You might even get to where you falter, but keep following. Sometimes I feel like that little boy. Lord, I'm going through this. Lord, I'm going through that. Jesus says, keep on following, because I'm going to lead you through all of this stuff. And if you keep following, you're going to have a better situation. And a leader that can't do this in his follow won't do this in his lead. You hear me? So sometimes you need to see people fall so that they can model an example of what you do when you fall. The only way I can be an example as a leader of what to do, of how to get up, there's only one way I can be an example of how to get up as a leader. One way. You got to know I fell. Chew on that. You can't be in it. That's why people that are not aware of your humanity are less inclined to come to you. Because they think you're going to judge them. You don't know what it feels like. You don't know what it feels like to smoke. You can only talk about it. You've been high before. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go out. Well, the preacher said, in order for me to be a good leader, I got to get high. No, you're missing my point. I'm not talking about from this point forward. That's why I thank God. And leader is not even positional. I'm talking about just a leader in whatever. Women can lead. You can lead other women. But you're limiting your leadership if you don't do this every now and then. If you walk around like this and act like you were born this way and act like you always had it this way and always act disgusted when you see somebody come in and they're not dressed like you, or they don't act like you, or they're hood, or they're ghetto, or they're this, or they're that. Don't act like that. Every now and then, you need to raise what you had going on so that you can show them what God can do if you stay on your follow. Stay on your follow, and the Lord will bring you to leadership. Turn to somebody and say, stay on your follow. Even when you fall, stay on your follow. Even when you're cut up, stay on your follow. Even when you're criticized and ostracized and misunderstood and mistreated and down talked and downplayed, stay on your follow. The scars you have will preach a sermon your lips can never preach. Show your scars every now and then. And so the reason why I'm qualified to tell you this is because I fumbled and I faltered, but I kept on following. You don't qualify for leadership unless you keep your follow. Keep your follow. We're going to do something different. We're going to do something different. The lesson is yours. The lesson is yours. No, you don't have to get up. So this is what we want to do. We want our present leaders to come forward. We teach how?
Whatever direction we're going.
Brother Wood, if you can get my shirt, I wasn't supposed to sweat like this. I've really said I would get up there to talk a few. But when I'm disobedient to the Holy Spirit, I feel it later. Feel it later. I feel it in my sleep. I toss and turn. Somebody needed to hear this. Because here's the thing. The desire is not for the position. I'm nervous of people that desire the position. Your ambition is in the wrong place when you desire the ambition, the position. As a matter of fact, a lot of people that are successful today didn't desire the position. They got the position because they were doing the work. Hello. Maybe there's somebody here that has the testimony that, yeah, they promoted me. I wasn't even looking for a promotion. They did it because you were doing the work. Some people want the position. Other people want the work. The Bible says if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Hello. You don't get the position so that you can do the work. You'll be stole the position because the work is already there. And we get confused with that in the church, but we don't get confused with that in our relationships. Somebody come to you and say, you know what? I really want to love you, so let's get married so that I can love you. Okay, help me understand what you're saying. I'm saying, I'm waiting to love you. I mean, I don't love you right now, but if you marry me, I'll love you. Will you marry me? What's the answer, sisters?
No.
There has to be some husband already there for you to get the position. There has to be some wife already there. I know I cuss you out and I talk to you bad, and I know I do that, and I got a little temper, but if we get married, I won't be like that. Should I, shouldn't I? Should I, should not? Better, brother, you bet not. You'll be down here asking for prayer each and every single Sunday. It won't even be the invitation. You'll be coming down doing communion. I need prayer. It's offering. I know we're doing offering, but I need prayer. And what you've had in our fellowship is a rash of leaders that only played the part to get the role. And so what happened, even in the history of this church, so I said, oh, why are you? Because look, I'm sorry, I'm just not afraid to admit. You play the role to get the part, and then guess what? Since the part or the role is your highest ambition, that's where you stop growing. It happens with preachers interviewing for churches. I'm gonna interview for church. I'm gonna come down. I'm gonna preach my hardest sermon. Then when I become a preacher, I'm going to be lazy and stop studying. We get it. Happens with elders and deacons and ministry leaders, even ministry leaders. Well, I want to lead in this ministry. No. Yeah, okay. You want the position? Okay. This is the new ministry leader. Yes, I'm the new ministry leader. What are you going to do? How come you weren't there? How come you didn't show up? Well, when is the meeting? Have no answers. Because you've already gotten what you were ambitious for. That's why the Bible is clear. It's about going after purpose, not position. And if you go after purpose, you'll get the position. Did y'all hear that? Not just in church leadership. Go after purpose and you'll get the position. You trying hard to get the position to get mad when they don't give it to you. They don't have to give it to you. The person who's pursuing purpose has greater value in the company than some of the people with the position, because the position was their highest goal. Same with our move. We're not over there to get a building. That's the position. Our position is we have a building here. What'll happen if that's our highest ambition? We're gonna get over there, get lazy, be half coming, and it'll be another rendition of where we are now. No growth. Same turtle, different shell. But if we're chasing and pursuing purpose and we're following after, then what God will do, and this is what happened, we got blessed because we're pursuing purpose. The history of this church is pursuing purpose and then getting positioned based on purpose. Do you know this building you're sitting in right now was given to this church? 4111 West Illinois, what you call your church home, was given to this church. Because this church decided while they were in a little building on Overton Road that they would pursue purpose. Somebody peeped into and was connected between Overton Road and this location, saw a church that was operating on purpose, and God moved them to say, hey, you need a building for the work you're doing. And if you want that to happen in your life, pursue purpose. Stop looking for position. And the position will come. So this is what we're going to do. Right now, you have, and this is the end. I'm tired. And this is the end of the sermon. Please don't walk out before the dismissal. Okay? We have two elders. And I'm going to tell you why we're teaching in this direction. We have three elders. Bishop Twyman is at home, still recovering. We had at one point as many as 9 elders. Do you see what's happening here? Right? 9 elders. We're down to 3. We had 4, but God called Uncle Dave. I call him Uncle Dave affectionately, but David Andrews home. And he got his discharge papers from heaven. And so we have 3 elders. We have all numbers of agreement. We have 3 elders. I work with 3 elders, 3 preachers, and 3 deacons. Then we have a host of ministry leaders. Where are the ministry leaders? Don't be ashamed. Darwin? We got Darwin Brown? Are you still a deacon? Come on down. Is Roy Montgomery here? Okay. Where are our ministry leaders? See, this never happened. There are some of you that don't know who the leaders are. And if you're not engaged in what the life of this church, you don't know. This is the leadership team. All leaders. I know you can't walk, Mama Twyman. You get to stay right there. You got the dead leg today. I get that. Yeah. Don't be trying to stanky leg later. There's some that are not down. Come on now. This church has upwards of 500 members. And it's really a lot higher than that. When people decide they'll be consistent, we'll be able to see. But this handful of people are leading, are putting, watch this, forsaking themselves. Here, some of them, first person to get here, last people to leave. So what happens is, there is obviously for where we are going and what God has for us, a need for more leaders. Amen. Not positions. We don't have any positions for more leaders. We need more leaders for positions. Okay? You don't wake up one day and say, oh, you know what? I want to be in that number. No. No more bringing people in whose highest goal was to get a title. You don't join the police force for a badge and never think you'll have to. That's not how it works. So what are you saying? What are you saying? All of the principles I'm talking about apply to everybody. And the reason why I brought the sisters up here is because for years there's been a misnomer in our fellowship. That the only thing the sisters can do is when homecoming comes, pass out the styrofoam trays filled with green beans, fried chicken, and potato salad. Fix it, Doc. Now, if you need scripture for that, read Romans 16, verse number 1. Paul had an assistant. The word he used was servant. In the original language, it implies deacon, deaconess. A deacon is a servant. That's all. A servant of the church is a deacon. That's what it is. We get into titles and we get thrown off. But informally, these sisters are deaconesses. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all, I ain't going back there no more. Oh, they dripping away from Christ. You don't understand Christ. If that's your opinion, if that's your conclusion, you got this thing all twisted. Go find some place where you can be taught whatever you're used to hearing. And I'm doing this as an invitation that there's a need, and the need is for workers, for servants. There's not a need for some people who want a position. The need is for workers. But guess what you have to do first before you lead? You got to follow. You got to follow. So I'm going to ask that I'm going to ask that you, my dear brother, my Lord, have mercy. Look at that. That's why I need to be sitting at the bench at Walmart, because I can't remember. Come on, brothers. You know who I'm looking at. Come on. Gilbreth, I'm going to come and ask that you come and you pray for us. Because what happens when you are serving and you are following and you are leading is the devil always has something that does this. Your health, issues in your marriage, issues with your children. Why? Because if leaders can't lead, people don't move. So I'm going to ask that you pray for all of us. And this is a leadership team here. And this is an invitation for others of you to come on board and serve. I figured Maurice can have the 12 disciples up here. I can have the disciples and disciplettes up here. Go ahead, Maurice.